Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 12th December 2017, Tuesday. So we just finished our puja offering. Now we are going to commence our puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the virya, which is the spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall commence the chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will start off with the Pali chanting. Starting with the vandana, salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adinādāna veramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra veramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sūrāmērāyā macchāpamādathāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sārapaditena Dipena tamadang sina ติโลกาติพังสัมบุตดังปูจายามิธัมโมโนดังกันดาสัมบารายุเทนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังตังปูจาบัจจานะโมเทมังวันนะกันดาโกโนเพทังเอทังกสุมาสันทัตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุมเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชหอทุโมคังปูพังมิลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังปริคาปิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปาเลปริคาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทโบจานังปริคาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังNow we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration.By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transform merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujayami.Dhammang Pujayami sẵn hàng bù chê mì. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah? And we can have our half an hour of meditation. We go off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. And for those who still need to train their mind, develop the spiritual faculty, you can continue with whatever training that you need to do. If you want to decondition your mental hindrance, you can use the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then for those who already have the spiritual faculty, you need to stabilize it. You just have to develop the whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with, or the method and technique that are suitable for you to stabilize the mindfulness. Use it to anchor your mindfulness, then relax into it, silent, then maintain the training of the mind to develop a stable sati or mindfulness. The object of meditation is the anchor for you to anchor your mind so that it does not wander off, so that it can be mindful of the object of meditation. It can be anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or mindfulness of whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. Could be the rising and falling of your atonement, if you are used to that, or whatever hand movement. Those who are familiar with the hand movement, you can also use them. The one that is taught by Longpo Tian is also quite good. And you can also use your own Budo, the Thai tradition, or the Mahayana tradition of chanting the Buddha's name, or the great beings' name, like Kuan Yin and all the other great beings. So that you can develop the mindfulness of it. You chant the Buddha's name, like Buddha or the great beings' name, it can bring forth the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then when you are able to develop the mindfulness, your mind become very calm, very peaceful. Then when this sati stabilize, you will be able to develop the meditation. Then you have to continue to relax into it and just silence everything until that mindfulness becomes so clear, so stable. Initially, if you do anapanasati, it may become like very, very subtle but long breathing, where you are fully aware and mindful of your breath. Every in-breath is like very long. Every out-breath is like very long. You are fully aware, fully mindful of everything that is happening within that breath. Then as you are able to develop the continuity of mindfulness, you will go into some form of absorption. You will like the mind absorb into it, but you have to remember to release it out, relax into it, so that the absorption does not build up into samatha or over concentrated, means beyond essence concentration. Then you go into apana samadhi. Apana samadhi is a very, very much deeper concentration. But you haven't done it before, you want to experience it, you can, it's up to you. But ultimately, you will know that this is just a conditioned state. It will make you very calm, very peaceful, very still. You will experience piti and sukha, the byproduct of the trained mind. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, that will make you feel very good. Some people call it spiritual rupture, like your mind has this style of ecstasy. Like it gives you a type of rapture. You feel very good. Meditative calmness, peacefulness. Then as you continue to relax into it and silent, and you become more mindful, it will stabilize and become sukha. Sukha is an even more refined type of piti. It will give rise to a blissful state of mind. They call it bliss, B-L-I-S-S. So when you experience sukha, there is a type of bliss, very, very different. Then you like to meditate. But the key thing is to relax into it and just maintain silence. Then after a while, when you are very skillful, your mindfulness will also become more and more quiet, more and more refined. Your breathing all will become very quiet, very subtle. Your object of meditation all will go back to a state like there is no more activity, there is no more movement. Everything has returned to the silent mind. Then you experience what they call pausadi. Pausadi is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is the meditative mind. So the purpose of meditation is to train your spiritual faculty until your sati is very stable, until it becomes very, very subtle, very still. Then you continue to relax into it and just silent everything, don't do anything. Just maintain the silence. That mind will become very sensitive. Then it will become very, very much more refined. Your mind will be like enter sati, means your mind is already in sati. Then this mind that is in sati or in pausadi, tranquility, stillness, silence, is very sensitive. It can meditate, it can understand anything. It's the meditative mind. So all of the mental training is to realize this state. Then after that, you just continue to silence. Then when your mind enters sati, all of your subtle breathing or subtle movement, they will come back to you. You are able to be aware of them, and your mind state become different. You have great clarity, great sensitivity. The mind is just aware, fully aware, still. It's a free mind. It's not a conditioned mind. Then you relax into it. Use it to meditate. Then whatever that arises within your five aggregate of form and mind, you will understand. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, you will realize them within your own form and mind. Okay, I'll let you train your mind, develop the meditation. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just continue to relax into it, maintain awareness for as long as you can, then silence everything. Then if you can, finally when your object of meditation become very quiet, very still and very subtle, you can stay there for a while. Then finally, you can allow your awareness to drop to your heart base, your heart area, your chest area. Then those who are already familiar, you can lie down if you want to develop the stability of mindfulness, the silent mind, to meditate. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. Then for those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Then for those who now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will continue with our chanting, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven a release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachatang veditabbo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato sakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato sakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujemi Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated, relax body and mind, then we will continue with our Dhamma discussion. We are on page 197, chapter 11, The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Narada. Oh yeah, there are some new offerings. Oh yeah, Queenie and and the daughter, I think Mei Xiang. We should rejoice at the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so this week I will continue from where we stop. Turn to page 197. King Pasanandi Kosala. King Pasanandi Kosala, the son of King Maha Kosala, who reigned in the kingdom of Kosala with his capital at Savatthi, was another royal patron of the Buddha. He was a contemporary of the Buddha, and owing to his proficiency in various arts, he had the good fortune to be made king by his father while he was alive. His conversion must probably have taken place during the early parts of the Buddha's ministry. In the Samyutta Nikaya, it is stated that once he approached the Buddha and questioned him about his perfect enlightenment, referring to him as being young in years and young in ordination. So this king, before he had faith in the Buddha, he has this doubt. That's why he questioned the Buddha. He said, "You are very young in years and young in ordination," because he was only less than 6 years, about 6 years. Then the Buddha replied beautifully. He said, "There are four objects, O king or Maharaja, that should not be disregarded or despised. They are Katiya, a warrior prince, a snake, fire, and a bhikkhu," means a medical, a normal bhikkhu. And the reason why the Buddha said that was because he wanted this king to understand how fierce these four things can be. So the first one is a warrior prince, a Katiya. This warrior prince, although still young, but can be very, very fierce, because this is the age where they are very, very gung-ho. We call it gung-ho. Full of self-esteem, full of what they call desire to conquer the world, to bring about glory to the country, success and all those things. So they tend to be very motivated with a lot of what they call virya, but applied in a different way. So you look at the note 2, you will see the explanation. An enriched warrior prince means this prince is full of very strong, what they call, they use this word enriched, means very strong in his desire to conquer. So, like a warrior, though young, may ruthlessly cause harm to others. Then the second one is a snake. A bite of even a small snake, if it's a poisonous one, may prove fatal. So you cannot just look down upon small creature, especially cobra. Then fire too, a little fire may produce a conflagration of severe spread of fire, like bushfire. It started off with a small fire. Then when it spread, it can become very, very destructive. Then the last one is even a young monk, maybe a saint or a Dhamma teacher. So here they put as Dhamma scholar. So this is how the Buddha explained to this King Kosala. Then we turn to the next page. Then he delivered an interesting sermon on this subject to the king. At the close of the sermon, the king expressed his great pleasure and instantly became a follower of the Buddha. Since then, till his death, he was deeply attached to the Buddha. It is said that on one occasion, the king prostrated himself before the Buddha and struck his feet, covering them with kisses. So this one was mentioned in the Majjhika Nikaya. So this proves the extent of his faith in the Buddha and his respect for the Buddha. Then his chief queen, Mallika, is a very devout and wise lady, well versed in the Dhamma, was greatly responsible for his religious enthusiasm. Like a true friend, she had to act as his religious guide on several occasions. One day the king dreamt 16 unusual dreams and was greatly perturbed in mind. Not knowing their true significance, his Brahmin advisor interpreted them to be a dream of portending evil and instructed him to make an elaborate animal sacrifice to ward off the danger resulting therefrom. As advised, he made all necessary arrangements for this inhumane sacrifice, which would have resulted in loss of thousands of helpless creatures. Then Queen Mallika, hearing of his barbarous act about to be perpetrated, persuaded the king to get the dream interpreted by the Buddha, whose understanding infinitely surpassed those of the worldly Brahmin. The king approached the Buddha and mentioned the object of his visit. Then relating the 16 dreams, this is in one of the Mahasupina Jataka. You look at note 1. He wished to know their significance, and the Buddha explained their significance fully to him. Unlike King Bimbisara, King Kosala had the good fortune to hear several edifying and instructive discourse from the Buddha. In the Sanyutta Nikaya, there appear a special section called the Kosala Samyutta, in which was recorded most of the discourse and talks given by the Buddha to the king. Once while the king was seated in the company of the Buddha, he saw some ascetic with hairy body and long nails passing by, and rising from his seat, respectfully saluted them, calling out his name to them. "I am the king, your reverence, the Kosala Pasanandi." When they had gone, he came back to the Buddha and wished to know whether they are arahants or those who were striving for arahantship. The Buddha explained that it was difficult for ordinary laymen enjoying materialistic or material pleasure to judge whether others are arahant or not, and making the following interesting observation. So this part is very interesting. You have to listen. How do you identify whether a person is an arahant or not? It is by association, it means sambhasena, that one's conduct, sila, is to be understood. And that too after a long time and not in a short time, by one who is watchful. What is watchful? Yeah? You should understand it. Right? Watchful is what? Huh? To be watchful is what? You have been cultivating to develop that. What is it? Huh? What is the most important quality of mind? Huh? Heedfulness or mindfulness. To be watchful is to be heedful or to be mindful. And not by a heedless person. See? If you are not heedful, you cannot understand. You go by outward appearance. You go by what people tell you. But when you are mindful, you are heedful, you understand. By an intelligent person and not by an unintelligent one. Here it means wisdom. It is by converse. Means getting to know them. That one's purity is to be understood. It is in time of trouble that one's fortitude is to be understood. That's why when you see them going through life, dealing with situation, condition, and how they act, a lot of things can come to be understood. It is by discussion that one's wisdom is to be understood. Sometimes you need to talk to them. And that too, after a long time and not in a short time. By one who is watchful and not by a heedless person. Even if you are mindful, heedful, watchful, you still need some time to find out. Unless you are the Buddha. Then by an intelligent person and not by an unintelligent person. So again, it's the same. Here, intelligent means people with wisdom. Then summing up the above, the Buddha uttered the following verse. Not by his outward guise. See, you look at our appearance. No, it's a man well known. In fleeting glance, let none place confidence. You cannot just look outwardly. Then, also based on what they wear, in garb of decent, well-conducted folk, whatever they wear may not reflect their quality. The unrestrained live in the world at large as a clay earring made of counterfeit. See? A lot of look real, but they are not. They are counterfeit. Or bronze half penny coated over with gold. Some fare at large, hidden beneath disguise, without comingly, and fare within impure. So King Kosala, as ruler of the great kingdom, could not possibly have avoided welfare or warfare, especially with kings of neighboring countries. Once he was compelled to fight with his own nephew, King Ajatasattu, and was defeated. Hearing it, the Buddha remarked, this advice is very good. People who go for war, when they understand this, they will not be so keen to go for war. The Buddha said, victory breeds hatred. The defeated live in pain. Happily, the peaceful live, giving up victory and defeat. So, if you don't have any intention to become the victor or the defeat, then you live happily. You don't have to go through war. On another occasion, King Kosala was victorious, and he confiscated the whole army of King Ajatasattu, saving only him. When the Buddha heard about his new victory, he uttered the following verse, the truth of which applied with equal force to this modern war-wearing world as well. A man may spoil another just so far as it may serve his end, but when he is spoiled by others, he despoiled. Spoil yet again, so long as evil's fruit is not mature, the fool do fancy, now's the hour, the chance. But when the deed bear fruits, he fare ill, the slayer gets a slayer in his turn. The conqueror gets one who conquer him, the abuser wins abuse, the annoyer freak. Thus, by the evolution of the deed, a man who spoils is spoiled in his turn. So all this refer to what? Yeah? Refer to what? Very clear, isn't it? You reap what you sow. Very good. Karma. That is what PG wanted to share when the topic turns up in a few more chapters, I think. So when we were having our Sunday class, Wu Ping Ching Sir, earlier on, she was the one that requested for that topic. She said she liked the topic on karma. Mm. Then I told her, yes, granted, wish granted. So she was very happy. So sadhu. So all this is to remind you of karma. You reap what you sow. So the Buddha mentioned, so long as evil's fruit is not mature, the fool, they will fancy what they are doing. Now's the hour, they say, the chance. But when the deed bear fruits, he fare ill. The slayer gets a slayer in his turn. See? When you kill people, people will kill you. So the conqueror will be the defeat. So when people conquer you, you will end up being the conquered. So likewise, initially the first war, King Kosala lost. Then later on, he won. Then the Buddha reminded him. When the Buddha has said, what the Buddha has said to King Kosala about woman is equally interesting and extremely encouraging to womankind. Once, while the king was engaged in a pious conversation with the Buddha, a messenger came and whispered into his ear that Queen Mallika had given birth to a daughter. The king was not pleased at this unwelcoming news. In ancient India, as it is to a great extent today, a daughter is not considered a happy addition to the family for several selfish reasons, as for instance, the problem of providing a dowry. The Buddha, unlike any other religious teacher, paid a glowing tribute to woman and mentioned four chief characteristics that adorn a woman in the following words. What about nowadays civilization? Is it still the same as the olden days where you prefer to have a son? What is your view now? In China, I heard it's the opposite. Now they want daughter. No? You know, daughter is very, very popular because it seems there is not enough ladies in China. So, not easy for a Chinese citizen in China to get a wife, and it's not cheap to have a wife nowadays. Oh, in China, you have to pay a lot. So different era, different civilization, the tradition will be different. But whatever it is, why do you want to discriminate? Last time the Chinese have this very strong tradition. They say only the son can continue with their family name. If you are a lady, you marry, your children, your descendant will follow the husband's side. But there are also cases in olden day China, the son-in-law get married into the daughter-in-law side and take the name of the daughter, the surname of the daughter. They have a name for it too. So it depends. But not important. Why must tradition brings about this type of discrimination? And I got one classmate, the parent. You know what was the compromise solution? The girlfriend haven't become the wife yet. Tell the boyfriend, I'm not going to marry you if my children is going to take your surname. You are my family objected. Because this lady is smarter. Come from a better family, more well known. So what was the compromise? Can you all think of a compromise? Very good. Two surname. You have heard of this or not? This classmate, it end up, the father is Lim, the mother is Kong, K-U-N-G, Kong, actually supposed to be Kang, Kong. Then the surname is not Lim Kong, it's Kong Lim. The mother's surname take precedence first. Then he said, your surname also there. So, Kong Lim. We call him Kang Lim. And he's a doctor, by the way. A very good doctor. So his name is Kang Lim Sisin. Very, very nice name. We call her Sisin. Sin. Kang Lim. So next time, if you got such problem, you tell your son-in-law or daughter-in-law, never mind, we compromise. Put the two surname. Then I say, future generation how? Two surname, four surname, you know how? That's why, whatever name you carry, the surname is not important. So it's just a symbol that people cling on to or attach to. Okay, we come back to page 202. The Buddha's words about women. The Buddha said, some women are indeed better than men. Bring her up, O Lord of men. There are women who are wise, virtuous, and regard mother-in-law as a goddess, and who are chaste. To such a noble wife may be born a valiant son, a lord of rank, who would rule a kingdom. So this was how the Buddha expresses it. Then even our generation, our civilization, I also heard from many of my father's what they call contemporaries, means around my father's generation. Do you know what they end up concluding? Good or bad about daughter? Almost 90% end up saying actually daughter better. You know why or not? Why are daughter better? You all haven't experienced that. They always say it is the daughter that come back and visit you more often, isn't it? Your son seldom come back and visit you. It's your daughter that are more concerned and caring because they have this feeling, understand? The yang energy, the yin energy. Make them more loving, more kind. And the daughter are the one that actually finds time to come back to their parents' home. That's why a lot of people complain. They say, they take our surname, my son marry her. But most of the time, end up in the father-in-law and mother-in-law there. And they say they don't got what magic there. Maybe good food. And they take care of them better. But the boy side one normally go back because too many siblings in the family, no special treatment unless you are the outstanding one. But these are human character, human nature. So if you understand the emotion of the male and the female, you will tend to have that ability to feel and sense that the daughter actually have more feeling for the parents. They actually attend to the parent more, and they tend to go back to their in-law's place. Whereas the man, after they get married, most of them want to shift out and stay on their own. You realize or not? Yeah. But of course, some are instigated by the wife. You better buy your own house, or buy your own condo. If you want me to stay with your in-law, forget about it. I'm not going to marry you. So there are a lot of this type of thing. But if you have the Dhamma, you will not do that, because it's just like the saying. I want to share this joke. How many of you are accountant? How many of you are accountant? Oh, Yun Chan. Oh, yeah, Chai also accountant. We got less accountant here. Normally a lot of accountant around. I want to ask you a question. When you get married, is it an asset or a liability? Accountant's question. Let us discuss this. Okay, I write on the whiteboard. When you get married, is it an asset or a liability? What do you think? Both. We are not talking about wives alone. Man and wife. When you got married, get or got? Get. Apply to both men and women. Is it an asset or a liability? How do you define asset? How do you define liability? Asset got value. So your spouse got value or not? Liability means spouse is liability. Wife is asset. See, experienced mother. Now grandmother already. So it comes from an experienced grandmother. So the next question, what's the difference between spouse and wife? Very good, same. Spouse can be man or woman, understand? But wife is definitely the lady, understand? So she's very smart. Yun Chai, you didn't get her word. Wife is definitely an asset. Spouse can be a liability. To her, wife is definitely an asset. It cannot go wrong. Understand? You agree or not? But depend on what type of wife. Not all wives are assets. The one that spend a lot on is a liability. It's definitely not an asset. But most reasonable or good wife, they are a big asset to you. Understand? Asset means what? Generate income. Understand? Is it correct? I must ask the accountant. Income generating. Asset. Otherwise, it's a liability. Income generating. Now you understand why Queenie say it's an asset. But not all. The one that spend a lot on is not an asset. That one squander all your wealth. That one is another type of class. So it depends on who you marry. That's why in life it's the same. If you don't take care of karma, you suffer, you become miserable. Understand not? Then when you marry, you don't marry a right wife or spouse, you also miserable. Yeah. So there is a saying in our Chinese tradition, isn't it? You can do whatever you like, but don't make the mistake of marry the wrong spouse. Understand? Yeah. If you marry the wrong spouse, you can become miserable, really miserable. But you marry the right spouse, you are really blessed. Yeah. But in this world, not that many are blessed. Huh? You agree or not? Most of the marriage doesn't end up well. Yeah. And people suffer because of relationship failure. Yeah, ultimately. So this thing, asset, if you want to define it in the actual correct way, is most wives that are helpful, that are supportive, that are very kind, virtuous, they are an asset to you. Because it brings forth, not only income generating, in the actual sense of assets and liability. If you have a good wife, she can really help you in many, many ways. First, look after your family. True or not? Bring up your children. Educate them in a proper manner. Then sacrifice for the family. They take care of the household. They cook for you. They wash your clothing. Then they also care for you, attend to you when you are sick. So most of the married lady here, they will understand all this. But they always complain. The other half doesn't appreciate what I do. Doesn't even acknowledge at all. Take things for granted. The first thing that you will come to realize is your wife do all this for you without salary. Understand? That's why it's an asset. You hire a maid also, you have to pay. The agency fee is not cheap nowadays. Then every month you got to pay. Then you got to provide for them and all those things. Then you got to go through all the hassle. They run away, they steal your thing, they abuse your children, you have children. So these are not easy. But when you look at it with understanding, like the Buddha said, if you have contentment, if you got gratitude, if you can appreciate what your spouse has done for you or contributed towards the family unit, the harmony, the household, and also whatever life condition that you are able to have. So 2 person bringing income to the family is definitely better than one. Nowadays in our society, we have more career wife. You agree or not? Most people are career wife now. Not like last time, the olden day. The olden day is like an accepted practice. You must marry a good husband who can provide for you, support you, and give you all the condition to have a good life or luxurious life. That's why they call it what? Kim Ku Sai. Is it? Cantonese, what you call? Kam Kui Sai. Means marry into wealth. But most of those who marry the rich man end up miserable. Do you understand? Too much money got problem. Then you got to when you are married into the rich man's family, they got a lot of this what they call family rules. And it's not easy. It's not easy. If your status is what? Because society is such, they look down upon all this. But now what we are looking at is from the Dhamma point of view. So if you have the Dhamma, you are not going to argue about whether it's an asset or a liability. You are going to have the understanding that it is an asset if you marry the right person. That's why the Buddha say you must have heedfulness. There are a lot of spouses who are very good. not necessarily wife alone, even husband. Very caring, very sincere, very understanding. The most important is very responsible. If you want to choose a good husband, you must choose this. If he is not responsible, you remember the four virtues of the four pairs of enlightened being, of dutiful conduct. They do their duty and they are very responsible. This one is very important. So when I asked my wife last night, why you not scared you sleep on the road? When she married me, I got nothing. I don't even have a motorbike. I don't even have a house. I was renting a room. I said, you not scared, fun guy. Sleep along the roadside. He said, I see this thing in you. You are a responsible guy. That's the answer from her. You can go and ask her. So this is something that you must have. You have to have this right duty, responsibility. Then contentment. You must have contentment. Contentment. Means able to appreciate life or what people have done for you. Appreciative of life. Or what people has done for you, then of course you must have kindness, goodness and virtue. So kindness, goodness and virtue are very important. When you have virtue, you are beautiful. But worldly people, they look for different things. What do worldly people look for? Outstanding husband. Then successful, wealthy, and all those things. But if you look for all this virtue, kindness, goodness, contentment, sincerity. The other thing is sincerity. Sincerity. Then, of course, this one is tied up with faithfulness. So you can find all these virtues in their character. Then you will end up having a good spouse. Then it's definitely an asset. Then 2 persons is definitely better than 1 person. When you can do a lot of things together. Resolve issue, consult each other, then even 2 persons have a wider field of contact too. But if you don't have all this virtue, instead you have all the negativity of mind state. If you marry into somebody who is, we name the opposite one. The most dangerous one is what? You scared of what? A snakey, How to spell snakey? I think we put irresponsible first. Irresponsible. Irresponsible means what? Like, they drink, they neglect their duty, they gamble, they squander off. They are very selfish. Irresponsible. Selfish. Selfish include snakiness. If you're selfish, you tend to be snaky. Then you tend to have a lot of those selfish intent. Then what else? The third one is what? Ladies scared what one? Aggressive husband. True or not? Or aggressive wife. That's why they say, don't marry the one that is born in the year of the tiger. They have this Chinese tradition. Year of the tiger. Tigress. So, aggressive. Aggressive. means a lot of anger or very violent, aggressive or very violent. How to spell violent? L? V-I-O, L-E-N-T, Then, all the bad vices. What else? Gambler, drinker, smoker, smoking included. Oh, flirting type. Wow. Queenie, very, very, very direct to the point. The one that flirt around. Wow, flirting type. Apply to both. Then just now we were talking about, just now before this flirting. All the vices. Drink. Drinking. Gambling. These are the cause of downfall. Gambling. But smoking, sometimes they say it's tolerable. I don't know. Then what else? They are very fearful to have the wife's character. Irresponsible, selfish, aggressive, means very violent. Flirting type, and those who has a lot of bad habit, they do a lot of vices. Then, of course, you can include the others, wrong livelihood and all those things. So if you marry into somebody who has all this, then this one become a liability. This one is no more an asset. This one will become a liability. That's why you must know how to choose your spouse if ever you want to get married. You must have watchful mind. Means heedful. Then like the Buddha said, not easy to recognize their character. Pass the mic. I can't hear him. Yeah, correct, yes. Yes, it's good. Come. This is a discussion, that's why we must have more of this.
All these are the ideally, you choose a spouse.
Correct.
But by the time you all these things, you already have 2-3 kids already. I don't see,
Actually, a very good point there. When you get married, you actually do it with what they call without due diligence. The accountant call without due diligence.
When a person in love, he don't see anything one.
Yeah.
You tell him anything also, he won't believe, is he?
That's why Vincent got a point. When you are in love, he say, you are like blind. You won't know anything. You tell him anything also, he said, never mind. I think my wife is beautiful. That's it. That is more important. Then the lady said, I think I married the right guy. This guy cannot go wrong. He look at wealth. He look at status. He look at the sweet talk and all those things. So Vincent has a very good point. That's why in a discussion, we have to look at it from different point of view. And this is how real life situation can end up with problem if you don't have the Dhamma. And I agree with what Vincent said. To most people, using this Dhamma criteria or doing a due diligence is like an ideal case. Understand? How many people look at that? Well, when you are in love, like Vincent said, you are blind. And the famous saying by this famous author, Alexander Pope, P-O-P-E. You remember his famous saying is on reality. To him, reality begin after the first day of marriage. You agree or not? The Queenie straight away nodded the head. Before that, all pretend one another. Some, they pretend until they are very wealthy. I was told by another engineer, colleague of mine when I started work. He was a Taiwanese. I don't know how he got his civil engineering degree. He studied in Taiwan. Come back, the degree not recognized in Malaysia. Yeah. But in Taiwan, it's recognized. And I asked him, because he was my senior, I said, how you get your degree in Taiwan? Because his technical knowledge is very, very child. He cannot design all. He said, don't come and ask me about design. He said, technical thing, don't see me. Yeah. Sales, you see me. Entertainment, you see me. He's very good. Then I say, how you study? He Cantonese, no? Like Yun Chan dialect. No? You know what he told me? No? The translation is, he said, I go study and go Taiwan. He said, we are from Malaysia. No? We go there, kao loi, chok loi. Means, a lot of these Taiwanese lady, they like Malaysian. No? Because you can go overseas and study. Ask Hui Rong after her meditation. And you know what they told me or not? They say they go and they use the word bullshit them, lie to them. They say, my father, tin my tauke, means the tauke or the boss, own a lot of tin mine in Malaysia. That's why I can afford to come to Taiwan to study. Then rubber plantation, tauke. Yeah, last time rubber and tin. So he said, the Taiwanese government like overseas Chinese. He said, no need to study also, they pass you. And the fee is all free. It's very cheap to study there at that time. I also don't understand until he told me. So when you have people like that, then you know. Yeah, a lot of this is pretend one. They lie to you. They create an image for you. So if you are gullible, you end up big trouble. Then like last Tuesday or what, I shared with you all on one of the case where they rent out a condo to a dato. Then this dato married this lady. So the lady become datin. So full of joy. But turned out to be a con man. The dato also don't know from where. Then everything he say was not true. So was deceived into the marriage and all those things. And end up. And what can you say about such situation? It's karma. That's why what I want to drive at is, if you don't take care of karma, whatever due diligence you do, no point. You still end up in liability, not asset. But if you got good karma, you don't worry. Like Vincent say, blind also find the right one. Understand? You won't make mistake. That's why take care of karma. If you don't take care of karma, big problem. Hui Rong still meditating. Like Hui Rong, like, 他们要听你 台湾人的思想. Qian zai huan zai, my wife more smart. Karmic debt. You old people, karmic debt. Pass the mic, Vincent. This one is Janine, Taiwanese. Hui Rong. 还没有听到你的思想. Let Hui Rong comment on all this.
其实你讲的你的那个同学讲的好像刚好相反。
哇，good good good，那是我要听的。
因为其实 所有的台湾人
都知道。But 64年代呢？
对，所以其实是因为可能是不同的时代。
时代啊。
在我那个时代
啊，没有了。
我们都知道马来西亚来的都是穷的。
啊，穷的哇，厉害！
因为如果有钱，他就去英国了。
说你上大学的时候是什么年？
我是1990年大学
毕业。哦，怪不得你是90年代，他是60年代，那个时候台湾还没有这么 developed。
可能
not so developed。That's what he told me。
所以在我这个年代是
不一样，
没有人要嫁来马来西亚。
啊，对对对，倒反。那为什么你会嫁来呢？
其实真的就是刚刚我还刚刚在 end 的车上跟他说。我这辈子做的最冲促的决定就是嫁给我老公。
哇，
好像没有想
呀，没有想，
没有想的哦，也不怕死的哦。
对对对对。
虽然我有来过，结婚前我有来过两次。
啊。
那我老公也是，父母都不在，也都没有钱，什么都没有
了。哇，好啊，好啊，好啊。
可是我却敢嫁来这边哦。
啊，你一定有感应到。啊。
所以其实。我的阿嬷那时候我要嫁的时候，她跟我说一句话让我很难过，就是说你怎么可以乱嫁。
That was a good one。
很严重哦。
Yeah, simply married。
然后其实说真的，我当初来马来西亚，嫁来马来西亚，我真的没有想很多，而且我的爸爸妈妈也没有反对。
哦，很好啊，
真的没有想很多。然后我现在想起来，我会冒一身冷汗，你知道吗？
哇，真的 ，very very unique case 啊。She just say, in the spur of time, within 你才来两次啊 ，you only came to Malaysia twice, then decide to marry to the Malaysian husband, just like that. She said very daring, 大胆啊。
对，因为。真的完全没有想，那你说是不是爱情冲昏头？我也不觉得。
That's a good one。
我没有觉得我是爱情，我为了爱情。
She said, "Is it because of love?" She don't think so。
所以。
So 为了什么？
其实我也不知道。
That is the best answer. She also don't know why she married over here.
所以我常常跟我的老公说。我也很直接告诉他， yeah. 其实我这辈子做过最冲突的决定就是嫁给他。
The most rush decision is to just marry like that.
但是我很感谢我自己的 good karma。
That is the correct one. Otherwise, 不会在这个课啊，won't be attending this Dharma class for the last.
至少我觉得
八年了，差不多八年了是吧？
对。
对啊，八年了，这才是你的姻缘呢。你的 good karma。
所以我觉得，其实，
blessing in disguise 啊。
对，因为如果你有 good karma 的
话，没有 good karma 真的糟糕哦。
其实
，despite a rash decision 啊。
就算如果你没有 good karma， 就算你嫁一个很有钱，很什么什么什么的，最后可能不会像你所想象的那样。
对，
那至少我认为，虽然他所以我才会说。我现在想起来，我觉得我冒了一身冷汗。
冒了一身冷汗啊！But it turned out to be a blessing in this guy,
对对对，
一个好意头啊。It's very good. That's why finally you realize it's your karma, no matter what you do.
对。
So the advice is take care of karma. Understand? That is the message I want to drive. It's not about asset or liability. No matter how cunning you are, how due diligence you do, if it'sMeant to be, you will end up marrying that person. Then, if it's a karmic debt, you have to pay. You cannot run. 很好，沙丘。
其实我有几个小学同学跟我很好
啊。
他们都跟我说我很好命。为什么？因为我的性格比较适合在马来西亚。
Very good, very good.
因为
your character suit Malaysia.
对，因为在台湾其实是一个很非常竞争
哦、oh, ，very competitive，
比起马来西亚，
yeah,
yeah. 那在这边的话，你很单纯的生活，其实你可以过得很好。
哇，好。
可是，在台湾不一定。
不一定。
所以我的朋友说我很
幸运。
对。
Yeah.
因为我在不知不觉中找到一个很适合我的地方。
是了，是了。Good karma. Very good. 谢谢你，慧荣。还有吗？
就好像其实跟我同期嫁来这边的很多，我的。我认识很多嫁来这边的
哦，
可是
台湾的时候 from 台湾哦哦，
可是到最后只剩下我一个
哦，是了是了，
很多都是啊、不适应啊，怎样怎样怎样 啊,
对对对啊，
然后最后老公没办法、
就
只好
啊，
不一定，大部分都是老公跟着老婆回去
哦，回去台湾对对对 ，That one I also heard of a lot
很多这样子，在我这一辈啦。
啊我们这边也有一个单身丽啊，娶一个台湾人，啊，is a actor， 有东丽嫁咪啊，有东丽 son 啊 ，he marry a Taiwanese actress， 嗯、，Hong Kee 啊，哦、，not Taiwanese 啊 ，Hong Kee， 嗯、，anyway is still from nearby， 哈，yeah，very good， 很好啊，啊，啊，
你问我说。有很多人都会问我说，哎，我有一个女朋友是台湾人
啊，
考虑要结婚，然后你有什么建议
啊？
我都会说，其实都是很因人而异的。
Yeah，
我适合他不一定。
Yeah，you are right， because depend on your karma， 嗯、应该跟他讲啊，靠你的因果。Sadhu. Very good. Sisini. Thank you. So anybody else? Yeah? Your whatever expression of this topic about marriage. Do you believe it's mainly karma? Ah, Queenie agree. Straight away. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Wait. Huh?
When after all these things over, and you look back, you say, okay, like, it's karma, whatever, condition, isn't it?
Okay.
That time, you don't look at this as karma.
Oh, definitely. When you make the decision, like Hui Rong say, it's a rash decision. Yeah, but then, ultimately, how it turned out is all karma, like the Buddha say. That's why the conclusion is, you don't take care of karma, even you do due diligence after hearing what I say, it's not going to help you much, understand? Unless you really have the wisdom and the understanding to see clearly the danger of people without this type of virtue and good character. You marry into somebody with all the negativity that we have highlighted, the chances of your life going south is very high, understand not? Becoming miserable is very high. Then the karmic have the condition to ripen, and they really torment you. So what we are discussing here is, as a Dhamma practitioner, as a cultivator, if you want to have good life, you must take care of karma. Then no matter what happened when you come, like what Vincent said is very true, at the point when you make the decision to get married, you are still very young, understand not? And most people at that time, they are like overwhelmed by the love affair at that time. So they don't have much time to think. Understand? And most people, they just make that the what decision you call it in a haste. They got other priority that condition them. Some of them, they are very eager to get married because they must have heard a lot of good things about marriage. But for those who understand, it's the beginning of a new life. And you don't understand life, you get yourself entangled. You don't marry the right one. Sometimes you may marry the right one, but you are the wrong one. You also contribute to the disaster of the family unit. So, is you need two hands to clap, so it's not a one-way traffic. Okay? Yeah. Anybody else? Queenie, I think we need Queenie to share. Queenie got a lot of experience.
I don't know. Use the mic. Kini. Yeah. Oh, how did you make that decision? They want to know.
Actually wanted to marry, but when come to that age, actually had many years, and it was a close family friend.
Oh, okay. Wow, very good. Now got Dhamma already.
And I'm very happy.
Wow, sadhu. Very good.
And
very
I
good.
Love my three children.
Yeah, very beautiful children. You got very beautiful children.
So
yeah.
I'm already very grateful.
Yeah, very grateful. Very contented. Huh? Very happy, mom. And now
I'm
granny.
Even more happy. After
yeah.
I only lately got time to study Dharma.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu.
In my earlier years, I have
no condition. Huh?
No condition.
Yeah. Yeah, sadhu. Very good. Wow, sadhu. She really live life after what age? 70? Now you are 70.
I'm going to be 70. I already passed 69.
Oh, past 69. Going to be 70.
Yeah.
Still got long time to go.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Then I live up to 100.
With your strong mind, I saw you while in the China 6th year pilgrimage. Really, I saw her for the first time. She joined our spiritual tree. Wow, I saw her so determined, with so much joy, you know, despite her leg. Every day, I think, he was trying to use Vincent's cure to heal her leg. No? And yet, she was full of joy walking together with Madam Ho. It is as strong as us now. That's why I got a lot of joy, every joy. Sadhu to you.
And I want to thank
Brazil. Oh, sadhu. I rejoice too.
Trip.
Yeah, yeah, that trip was
so
very beautiful. Huh? Yeah.
And
you really enjoy, I saw. Yeah. Especially your daughter is not around. You have a different set of people taking care of you. Kayanamita.
Sadhu.
Kayanamita. Yeah, Chingyao.
Yeah,
even Madam Ho was a good companion.
Yeah.
The two of them got big appetite, you know. What? Eat until we also really rejoice for them. They got so big appetite, you know. There was so much joy seeing them.
I really am very happy now.
Yeah, you love that trip a lot, I know, Madam Ho.
I like to do a lot of dana.
A lot of dana, sadhu. Then your parami very good. Now she like to do a lot of dana. Very good. Sadhu to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And
we also rejoice.
Also.
Yeah, sadhu. And all Kayamita.
Yeah,
sadhu. Thank you. Okay. You can pass the mic back. I need to change the battery. Yeah. Jinhao, you have. You know how to change. You make sure the polarity correct. Nega. Oh, flirting. LT. Got L. Got L. Oh, FIL. Oh, L. Oh, yeah. Thanks. It's Alicia Lehigh. Come down. FLI. So FLI, I become you. Yeah. Okay. Is it that? Ah, oh, good. Yeah.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Ah, good. Okay.
Anybody else wants to share on this topic? Those not married one, no need. We got a lot not married one. Okay, if not, then we continue. So at least today's topic is something that you can reflect on. then you will heed the advice of the Buddha. You have to be heedful, watchful, then develop the Dhamma understanding, then take care of karma. When you take care of karma, you take care of your life. So you don't have to worry about how to make choice. Even when you make it in a rush, too young, like Hui Rong's case, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. But you don't take care of karma, no matter how much due diligence you do, you will still make mistakes. Because karma is such, when the conditioning is there, you cannot avoid. Some of the karmic conditioning are very powerful. Meant to be, will be. And the worst one is karmic death. Karmic death. So when you marry into a situation where you have to pay back your karmic debt, you can end up miserable, really miserable. Karmic debt means what? Last time you did to people, so now you end up becoming the victim. People do back to you, then you end up miserable. Then the question keep on arising. How can my husband do this to me? How can my wife do this to me? What have I done in the past to deserve all this? So this will be the question you keep on asking. And this one comes from the mundane mind, because it cannot understand. The real karma or understanding behind karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. We are all most important. We are all, like the Buddha said, the fifth daily contemplation. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Yun Chai want to share? Oh, good. Okay, very good.
I have known of a friend.
Ah, yes.
She checks everything before she marries anybody.
Wow, this is real due diligence. Accountant,
she checks everyone.
Wow.
There are all kinds of people she mixes with, but she didn't get to mix with the right kind. So she so in the end she thought she'd get this person. He's a professional, having a good job. Having a good job, everything, assess everything is okay. So she decided to marry him. So when he proposed, she married him.
How did it turn out?
But he is actually a very nice person, very kind person.
Very that's good, a blessing.
Except that he started his own business. And the business not doing well. So he's always asking her for money.
That is the most fearful thing, the spouse that do that.
Her son keeps going to him because he can't make ends meet.
So understandable. Yeah.
She decided to divorce him.
Finally,
So did she do the right thing, I wonder?
So end up with a smart question. Okay, we open for discussion. What do you think? Yun Chan's question is, did the lady who decided to divorce the husband after going through all those problems, did she do the right thing? What do you think? Pass to PG. PG got the answer.
I will say it's not necessary right decision.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Because it may be a very genuine case and he just needs a helping hand to make it get through these difficult times.
Okay.
If every wife were to just behave like what she does, then a lot of marriages will have failed.
That is one way of looking at it. I think it's a good way too. Anybody else? What do you think? Actually, what would you turn brought out is very good. And it's quite common. Not really rare, it's quite common. I have seen quite a number of marriage who have this problem. I don't want to mention who. One of the couple I remember is also our Kayamita. But after coming to see me, it ended up well. Didn't divorce. Didn't break up. Actually, many such cases. Anybody else? Yeah, Queenie. Pastor Queenie, yes. That's why the topic on karma is very interesting.
Yeah. I don't think she made the right decision.
Okay.
Because why? She did so much homework to find out who to marry.
So you cannot blame yourself.
It's her karma.
Yeah, her karma. Very good. Yeah.
This situation for her to pay back.
Yes, you're right.
So she cannot blame anybody.
Correct, because she did all the due diligence. Then she look at what? Look at the career. I mean, outward, understand? Or accountant. What's it, accountant? Good job, good job. Before he married, you say he got good job, isn't it? The husband. Good job. Then, good status or what? Something like that. Oh, I was a manager, see, Vincent says it's a contingency plan. What do you think? Yeah, it's a liability. So, what the accountant do? If it's a liability, chop it off. See, that's what accountant will do. This is a contingency plan. Yeah, from the corporate point of view. Yeah, from her point of view. So, very good. Anybody else? Okay. Good. She has remained single until now. Okay, you finish? Okay, finish. I explained a bit. Not much time left. So, you see, from the Dharma point of view, how do you look at all these things? What I like about Vincent's answer is good. Contingency plan. So, worldly people will say, liability? Chop it off. Okay? So, no more suffering, no more bleeding. Finish. But then he also know, like Queenie said, it's karma. Understand? Karma means you must have done this to people before. That's why now you become the spouse. You also gonna harass back. So last time in that case, you see, most of the case is the wife has a steady income. One case is the wife was very successful. I think regional manager, a very multinational company worldwide, then become regional. They call it manager or director, or I don't know, some very high post. Then the husband was just an ordinary, they call real estate agent. You know what is a real estate agent? Based on commission, no steady income on. But every time, ask for money. So that is the situation. Then the other one is the wife, very successful business lady. She very good at business. And the business she choose, she can make money very fast. A lot of money some more. Then the husband, like you call it inferiority complex, isn't it? The husband doing so well. Then the husband somehow tried very hard, but just don't have business acumen. Every line he go in also, fail one. Lose money on. The recent show you got see on the Astro. This show is the opposite. This show is that guy got a girlfriend. He tried to support the girlfriend into whatever she wants to do. Every business actually, like the karma is so sweet. Every business also failed once. Then finally, he managed. She gave up on all those things that lost money on. Then she decided to go into one business, tuition center. They got one place very low rental, very cheap. Somebody give up the tuition center and near to a lot of international school. Everything due diligence correct already. This one sure make good money. You know what happened? Went in, buy, pay for the thing. Then again, the boyfriend support. Within 2 weeks, they received a notice that whole building, somebody already earmarked to redevelop, want to take over. So the rental money pay, everything, they all pay. Then suddenly got evicted. Again, fail. So what I'm trying to explain to you is a lot of these things depend on karma. And if it's karma, how do you resolve all this? That's why both this couple came, talked to me, finally resolved. They became very happy. They resolved their problem. Yeah. Then they end up well. But what is happening is, you look at this thing. The way I look at it is, karma has its various way of manifesting. Let's say this life, you encounter somebody with this type of problem, then they end up becoming your friend. Then you introduce them to me. Then they got their problem resolved. How can this happen? This is the deeper aspect of karma which I want you all to learn. How can this thing happen? Because in the past, they could be like you, help people who got this type of big problem come out of their life situation. Then when there is condition, when they themselves got hit, then there will be, we all in Chinese call, Kui Ren, will come and help you, understand or not? Well, you help people before. So this is what karma is about. Don't be selfish. If you can help, if there is condition to help, when you can see that there is condition, that people are willing to ask for help, they are sincere, then you talk to them nicely. Yeah. Then if there is condition, like I always say, provided they want to come, otherwise don't bring. Yeah. Then they will benefit. Now you all, most of you all have that understanding. You can help people. Like Sui Ani has been helping a lot of people. So he's doing a good job for me. I actually relief of a lot of this thing. Well, he can handle one or he handle. Oh, he know how to apply the Dhamma. Then when he hit some chronic one, then he send. So not so bad. So that's why recently, not that many already. So law of karma is such, when they come, you have to explain to them. And do you know that one, that the wife is very good at business, very successful, he was so fed up with the husband. Then they end up with another problem. They got one of the kids in form 4 or form 5, I forgot already, having big problem. Just don't want to listen to them. Then the wife want to ground them and all those things. You know, this boy, so young, you ground them and force them to attend Dhamma class, 8 precepts and all those things, or retreat, I tell you, hell will break loose. So a lot of problems. So they got no way, so they came. Then the first thing I want to do is I say I have to listen to both sides. I cannot just listen to one side. Then they came, they explained. Then later on, they want to bring the son to. I say, you make sure he want to come. Otherwise, don't bring. Because not easy, this youngster. So later on, when he come, the boy was playing with the handphone. He's not keen at listening at all. He come because the mother forced him to come. But finally, the way I approach it is such, he was actually listening. But pretend not to be listening. Then finally, when I come to the point, I say, if it's your son's life, let him decide. Wow, he was very happy with that. No? Say, see, Brother Tio also say, let me decide. Why you force me do this? Oh, wow, then start to speak. Then he didn't know there is something behind. I say, likewise, you must respect your parents. They love you. They provide for you. Understand? They sacrifice so much for you. And because they love you, they care for you, that's why they are so keen in seeing that you don't go the wrong way. Then I say,
you didn't know your blessing. They are willing to fund your overseas education and all those things. You think these are small money. These are big money. And you don't appreciate. You still want to argue with them and throw tantrum and do all those funny things. I say, if I were you, I say, very simple. Form 4, form 5. I sacrifice 1 year. And nowadays, not difficult to go into U, understand, not uni. I say, form 5, you just pass or do the barest minimum, enough to enter private college or uni. Then your parents can afford you overseas education. Your future is secure. Why do you want to waste your life? Because involving gangsterism and all those things. Then later I explained to her. I say, mainly because of karma, I say. Then she at first couldn't believe, or couldn't understand. Got such thing, woman. Why in the temple nobody teaches this? They were very active in the temple, you know. They help out in many things though. But they say, nobody taught us this type of Dhamma, is it? They only tell me karma, cause and effect and all those things. But they don't explain it's related to life this way. That's why after that she was very, very different. She changed. She completely changed. And I told her, this is what happened in the past. Now you change role. Understand? Last time somebody did it to you, then you're dependent. Now you come, the condition reverse. You have the upper hand. If you do this, look down upon your spouse, scold your children and all those things. In future, when you come, you will have parents that will do back the same thing to you. Then you have the spouse that will continue to do this back to you. Because I say, if you really can help your husband, you should help him to understand why he failed. What are his weaknesses? I say, you are in this line. He is in this line. I don't know what line, but very good business acumen. Yeah, he do SWOT analysis. You know what is SWOT analysis? Strength, weaknesses, opportunity, and threat. I say, apply this to your husband and let him understand, and he will do well. Then only you start to realize, yeah. Then I say, start with small thing, little risk. Then you can solve all your problems. And this is how Dhamma can be applied. And this has the condition to come about is because they help people before, understand, to come out of situation. So if like this line, you kayamita, you got the condition and help people, become a blessing to people, then in future, when Buddha Sasana not around and you didn't have the vow and all those things, and you fall, people will take you out, understand, not? They will introduce you to the right people who can help you. And this is what karma is all about. And this aspect is very important. That's why you've got condition to do good, to help people. You should do. You must understand that word, no, if you've got condition, no. Yeah? Don't be too eager to help, no. Otherwise you end up miserable, I tell you. If they don't want to be helped and you force yourself to help, that is called kepo. Kepo in English is what? Busybody. Actually, it doesn't portray the right meaning. Our dialect better. Okay, we better end. So, I still didn't finish, you know. So, how? So, we should name one. Let Polian choose. Polian, you choose. Hello. Popular demand. Previously, somebody chose Hui Rong. Hui Rong said, I got to go back to Taiwan. Since I have your Taiwan the program. You, Polian. Oh, Sang Su, you will suggest, not Su Chen Chen the. No, Kang Hao, you are Hui Taiwan. Woman Su Tao, you are Hui Taiwan. So, the next Tuesday, huh? Okay, ma? No class, yeah. Then you rest 一个礼拜. Next Tuesday, if you got a bit of time, I will share the balance. Because my wife also want to cut short the sharing.
My wife also wants to save time. We have somebody nominate her to share. I think it was Padma Suri. Padma Suri. So everybody get to share. Sadhu. So we confirm. This is the following Tuesday. After Christmas. Chapter 12. Need chapter 12. Chapter 12. Says it. Then you all want it on or off? Boxing Day, you know. You better off, have a good holiday so that you can have your new year. But for those who want to come, you can have private session here. So we are catering for both sides. I know most of you are on holiday mode. So Christmas, Boxing Day, year end, after that is the English New Year. I think you have a lot of activity, countdown and all those things. But those who want to come and have private session, you let me know. Then you all can come, no problem. I will be around this year. Okay. With that, I think we will do the sharing of merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. By the way, the good news is Sister Susan is already discharged. So we should rejoice. Okay. Then let us commence our sharing of merits with the devas. Akka Satta Cha Bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Ipinang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Ipmina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripajama and all the worthy ones and VM. Thank you.